Just like to thank Pastor for the opportunity just to bring the word this evening. I certainly do enjoy preparing the messages, and it's been a blessing just to study through the first chapter of Galatians. And this evening we'll just be going through verses 1 to 12, so we'll read them through together now and then we'll have a word of prayer. Galatians and chapter 1 and verses 1 to 12. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the reading of your word this evening. Father, we pray that you would be with us, meet with us this evening, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds this evening, that we would be both challenged and blessed through the reading and the preaching of your word this evening. Father, we pray that your name would be lifted up and that Christ would be at the centre of all that takes place this evening, Father, that you truly would be glorified through this. Father, we do desire your presence, the power of your Holy Spirit here. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. There are many forms of doctrine, false doctrine, creeping into our churches. And this has been the case throughout all ages. And in the days of the Apostle Paul, they had the same problem. There were those who were coming into the church and teaching forms of doctrine that were meant to incorporate the Old Testament law into salvation by grace through faith. And the Apostle Paul writes the book of Galatians here to help combat the false doctrines creeping into the church during his absence. And in verse 1, even before he really begins to address the issue in full, he brings one thing really into focus right up front. And it says here, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul makes it clear that his apostleship is not of men. It's not by the power of men, but rather that Jesus Christ is the source of his authority. And this is the foundation for his ministry of teaching and preaching the gospel. Paul had no desire to make a name for himself, and he knew that his ministry wasn't self-established, but rather relied on the empowering and working of the Holy Spirit to grow the ministry. The problem that we have in many churches today is that the focus is on not growing the ministry in the sense of reaching out to the lost, but in just getting numbers into the church. More people, the more fruitful the ministry looks. So the size of the congregation then has become the measure of the ministry. They begin trying to keep people entertained instead of preaching the clear counsel of God. And where Christ crucified was once at the centre and focus of the church life and ministry, they have pushed Christ to the side of the stage, as it were, and said that the preaching of the cross is just, well, it's too offensive. People don't want to hear that Christ was crucified, that he shed his blood for their sins. That doesn't sit well with people. They want to hear something soft and easy on the ears, Jesus is love and that sort of thing, which he is, but they need the gospel first and foremost. The Apostle Paul himself had no illusions about being self-established in his ministry. He knew that if Christ was no longer at the centre of his preaching, he might as well pack up and go home. Because without Christ, there is no gospel and there is no reason to be preaching. We must keep Christ at the centre of our lives and our church ministry. In verses 2 to 5, Paul continues with his salutation. It says, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen." Note that this is not just addressed to one church. It says that is addressed to the churches of Galatia. So we gather from this that the heresies of the day had permeated through the churches in the local area, one way or another replacing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a religion of works. And it's alarming how quickly and easily false doctrine can travel from one church to the next. And as Brother Emmanuel said this morning, you know, we need to be careful where bridges are being built. Because bridges with people who don't hold the same standards and the same doctrine as us will eventually cause either we'll have to separate from them or their ideas will begin to infiltrate the church. And especially those who are weak in the church will begin to stumble. So we do have to be careful where the bridges are built. It's, as I said, it's alarming how quickly this can happen. And we need to be careful that false teachers are kept from coming into the church and from peddling their wares amongst the people of God. And we can be truly grateful that we do have a wise shepherd here who is on the lookout for those who may be stirring up strife, that is faithful in preaching the word and stands against the errors of man's religion and the philosophies of the day. But we as God's sheep need to be watching as well, that we don't allow wolves to creep in, or that we don't allow ourselves to be tainted by the philosophies of the world and bring those into the church as well. I'm certainly not against listening to audio messages at home, and I've been blessed with the opportunity to listen to some messages as I travel to and from work. But we do have to be careful who we're listening to and what we allow to infiltrate our minds, because it is, you know, it is what we allow in the home that often has the greatest effect on us. That's what really sinks in, because we're in our comfort zone, we're thinking about it, we're taking it in. And I mean, we do have a pastor who preaches the word faithfully, but again, he does encourage us not just to accept everything that he says at face value, but to study the word for yourself and make sure that these things are true, as the Bereans did. Excuse me. In verses 3 to 5, Galatians chapter 2 and verses 3 to 5, we read, "But neither Titus, who is with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." The Apostle Paul is relating a previous event where there were those who were trying to turn the grace of God around and make salvation based partly on works through the law. And as the Apostle Paul relates this, he says, these people, they were not given a single hour with us. Okay, we didn't tolerate these false teachers. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul could have quite easily addressed the situation front up and spent even hours debating with these people, with these false teachers, and sent them out, you know, with their tails between their legs, as it were. But he says they weren't tolerated even for an hour. And if he spent hours debating with them in front of the believers, then that would be giving the false teachers a free pulpit to preach their heresies. But in wisdom, these teachers were told to pack their bags and get out. They were not tolerated. None of this, oh, but they're brothers in Christ and their heart motive is all right. I think we can still have fellowship with them. We can still have them in the church, but we'll exclude them from ministries where they're teaching the believers. But we'll just smooth things over. Let's not stir up any waves. Their heart motive's correct. Well, the Apostle Paul said, look, what they're teaching is wrong. They're going to have a bad influence. We can't tolerate this. They need to leave. The Apostle Paul said, don't tolerate the false teachers in the church. We must be firm on the foundations of the gospel. It's critical. These teachers of false doctrine had managed to convince the believers that they needed something more in their salvation. The false teachers, they obviously were allowed a pulpit, as it were, in the churches of Galatia. And I'm not sure what the situation is. The Bible doesn't explain how they were allowed into the church. But obviously, through their preaching, they had convinced the believers that they needed to add something from the Old Testament law to their salvation in order to both be justified and to keep themselves saved. He continues in verse 5, just briefly as he reaffirms... it's not in verse 5. In verses 4 to 5, he says... I'll read from verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just reaffirming the statement of faith there. And finally, just clearly declaring Christ as the Redeemer and Keeper of the believer according to the will of God the Father. But in verses 6 to 7, Paul really gets down to business as he addresses the concerning matter at hand. And he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So here Paul makes his concern made known. Now, Galatians was written in about 60 AD during Paul's third visit to Corinth. And Galatia was a region in what is today called Turkey. It included the cities of Iconium, Derbe and Lystra and several others. It was called Galatia because the Galatians were not actually Greeks, but they were Gauls, a stream from the torrent of barbarians which poured into Greece in the 3rd century before Christ. Again, the occasion for writing the epistle is Paul's becoming aware that the Galatians had become the prey of the legalizing, Judaizing missionaries from Palestine. And there were two forms of false doctrine being pushed by the Judaizers. Firstly, they alleged that the law of Moses must be kept along with faith to be justified. In addition to that, they advanced that a Christian must continue to keep the law in order to remain saved. Paul expresses here his surprise. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And I dare say this surprise was mingled with a bit of disappointment at the Galatians' susceptibility to false doctrine. They had allowed their stand on theology to be moved to a weak foundation. Anytime you shift the basis of your salvation from Christ alone, you immediately put both your salvation and your eternal security in the maybe basket. That is to say, maybe I'm saved and eternally secure, maybe I'm not. It all depends on my works. That is why the Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 3 and chapter 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul also declared in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In verse 7, these believers had been led to believe that the law was an integral part of their salvation. But Paul declares that this is This is not another gospel, but rather it is the religion of man being used to cause trouble. It says, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word trouble means to disturb the mental calm and contentment of, to worry, distress, or agitate. This law-based religion was causing the minds of the believers to become unsettled and distressed. I mean, how could one not become unsettled or distressed if their eternal security is based on their works? Excuse me. When such a heresy takes form, it would surely be distressing, and there is no rest in the heart of the individual who relies on the works of the law to make him and then keep him saved. The word pervert here literally means to turn around. So the false form of doctrine had turned the gospel of Christ around from being a free gift of God by grace through faith into a religion that required the individual to keep the law and would never give the individual complete assurance of salvation. Whereas we know that we have God's full assurance that we can know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul addresses this form of false doctrine head on in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So they had heard the gospel, they had accepted the gospel, taken it to heart, and some of them had been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And now they've been taught this false doctrine, which is that they need to add works to their salvation. And the Apostle Paul is saying, no, you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ through grace. How is it that you now think that you're going to remain in your salvation, that you're eternally secured by continuing in works? It isn't works that secure your eternity in heaven. It's not through works that you are saved. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians and chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, very familiar verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, the Apostle Paul was having to address this same sort of situation where people were teaching works being added to grace, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And also let's go to the book of Romans and chapter 11, just quickly. Romans chapter 11 and verses 5 and 6 says, Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Apostle Paul makes it very clear that grace is a gift of God, but if you have to earn it, then it's no more a gift. It's unmerited favour. If you have to earn it, well, then you've achieved it by some merit of your own. So it's no more grace, it's achieved by works. And we've been memorising Romans chapter 6 for our scripture memory. That's a good passage as well, just to read through and see as the Apostle Paul addresses the harmony of the law working with the grace of God. He says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto God. The law is not excluded by grace, but you aren't saved through the works of the law either. by the deeds of the law can no flesh be justified in his sight. Let's read now verses 8 and 9 of our passage. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul's verdict was very swift, as he declares that anyone who teaches another gospel, a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, should be accursed. The word accursed is the word anathema, which means accursed and doomed to destruction. Anyone who dares to risk the souls of the lost by preaching another gospel will suffer the divine wrath of God upon them. We simply can't afford to risk losing a soul because we were unfaithful in keeping and teaching the whole counsel of God. The Roman Catholic Church has done the same thing as these false teachers have done there, preaching a gospel of works. And they're going to have a lot to answer for because they've given people a false hope of heaven and perverted the gospel of Christ. And one day they'll stand before God themselves and, you know, they've based their faith on their works. And they'll realise that all their righteousnesses were as filthy rags in God's eyes. They'll have a lot to answer for what they've done in misleading so many souls, leading them straight down the path to hell. Verses 10 to 12, we read, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." I certify unto you, brethren, simply means I'm making known to you right now, as clear as possible. I'm declaring it to be the truth. The gospel which was preached of me is not after man, and I didn't receive it of men. Again, Paul makes clear the source of authority for his message and the obvious reason for it being Christ-centered is that it wasn't received of men, but rather it was received by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. This is also an affirmation of his apostleship, as only one who had seen Christ in person could be an apostle of Christ. Paul, therefore, is making it quite clear that his message and every aspect of his ministry was by the will of Jesus Christ. He didn't preach the opinions of men, nor did he seek to please men by vain speeches. If that was his intention, then he declares, "I should not be the servant of Christ." Any man who is a servant of Christ should be seen to point only to Christ, not to himself and not to the men around him. Paul's preaching could easily be recognised by the believers as being Christ-centred preaching, and that was his great testimony as a preacher, that he knew his ministry had one thing in focus, and that was the glory of his Saviour, Jesus Christ. So just a few closing thoughts. If the Apostle Paul were to stand before us today, would he find us faithfully holding to the faith, the doctrines of the gospel as laid out in the scriptures? Or would he find that we've wavered somewhat and allowed our faith to shift onto a weak foundation? Young believer, older believer, do you have doubts in your mind about your salvation? If so, then I challenge you to consider what it is that you are trusting in to keep you saved. The Apostle Paul made it clear that if the believers were saved by grace through faith in Christ, then surely they will be eternally secure on the same basis. So let your faith remain in Christ, and he will keep you eternally secure. Secondly, when God makes us aware of false doctrine or bad habits being brought into the church, do we immediately address the issue? Or do we just try and smooth it over so as not to make any waves? You know, we need to be aware of our own attitude, our own heart attitude as we come to church, of the habits that we may be bringing with us into the church, whether they're edifying to the believers and glorifying to God. And if God does speak to us as an individual about bad habits, about things that we may be bringing into the church which are not glorifying to God, do we address it immediately? Or do we just try and smooth it over in our own lives? And again, thirdly, is Christ at the centre of our message, our ministry, and ultimately our lives? If Christ is first in all these areas, then like Paul, we can be called the servants of Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your word. Father, we thank you for the teachings that the Apostle Paul brings through here in the book of Galatians. Father, we do pray you'll help us to be alert, have our minds open and aware of what's going on around us, that we would not be easily fallen into the traps of false doctrine, Father, or worldly philosophy, that we would not be dragged away by the current of worldly philosophy, Father, but that you would build us up in your word as a church here. Father, we do desire to be a lighthouse to the world around us. Father, we pray that you'll help us not to be building bridges with those who are not like-minded with us, Father, but to be aware of what's going on around us and to be standing firm on your word and, as it were, building up the walls. Father, we just do thank you for this time. We thank you for your blessing upon this evening. We do pray that you are glorified through the rest of this meeting here this evening. Father, we do ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.